I've spent a third of my adult life, that's about 4 months a year since I was a kid, traveling in Europe and loving every minute of it. And I've devoted my career to helping other Americans enjoy European travel as much as I do. I'm Rick Steves, and I love teaching people about travel. But in order to travel well, you've got to be prepared. You need to have the right information. Otherwise, that big investment of your precious time and money could turn out to be a big disappointment. Without the right preparation, you may find yourself worn out, stuck in long lines, overwhelmed by crowds of other tourists, and kind of relieved to be back home on your couch when it's all over. The whole thing could end up a big, exhausting blur of sights that you barely recall the names of. I'm exaggerating a bit. It's hard to have a lousy time among the wonders of Europe, but I promise you that having the right information will turn your average trip into an amazing one. You could say the same thing about life back home. To live a full, engaged life, you need to be informed. You need media that equip you with actual facts and intelligent perspectives, not just the latest opinions of pundits or the bluster of politicians. By giving you the smart voices instead of just the loud ones, public broadcasting equips you to participate in a richer conversation every day. In the hour ahead, we're going to talk about equipping you to take this philosophy on the road. If you do your research and open your mind, you'll have a blast. And I'd like to be your guide in getting ready for this adventure. My decades of travel research are at your disposal right now as I share with you the best bits of my travel skills talk. I shared this talk recently with an audience of travelers just like you in California. I have a sense we have some eager travelers here. How many of you have been to Europe before? Let me see a show of hands here. Well-traveled crowd. Who's got a trip coming up that you're actually planning for in the next 10 or 15 years? Anybody? 2 weeks, all right. Well, I've learned so much that you can learn from other people's experiences and have a much better trip. Now, I've spent a good part of my life, I would say a third of my adult life, 4 months a year since I was a kid, living out of a small bag, hanging out with other people, experiencing Europe. And right from the start, it occurred to me that I just love European travel, and I also love teaching it. What I'm excited about today is sharing with you the fundamental skills so you can do this yourself. I just love the thought that anybody can travel this way if they can just expect themselves to be traveling smart. Now, I'm in Europe for 4 months out of the year, every year for the last 30 years. Now, when I'm in Europe, I'm out there most of the time on my own researching, and my whole idea is to make mistakes. Take careful notes. Learn from those mistakes. When I get ripped off, I celebrate because they don't know who they just ripped off. I'm going to learn that scam, and I'm going to take it home and tell everybody about it. I just think it's so important because your trip is important. It's a huge investment of time and money, and you can go over there tomorrow without any planning and have a reasonable time, but you can have the trip of a lifetime. The more you plan, the better you're going to use your time over there. And planning is a fun dimension of the whole experience. Get into the mood of your trip ahead of time. Recreational reading, recreational movie going. Go to their friends. Anybody who's been to Europe loves to show their photographs. I mean, you're a chance for them to show off. Learn from people. And think about the style of trip you want to have. I've learned there's some very fundamental elements of travel that carbonate the experience. Most importantly, people. If you're not meeting people in your travels, it's going to be a flat kind of experience. You're going to see cultural cliches on stage, you're going to go to dead buildings, and you're going to go back to the hotel and wonder, is there good Wi-Fi, you know? You got to just get out there and meet the people. When I'm in Spain in a little bar or cafe, I'll sit right up at the bar and meet this guy. He'll speak English, and he'll be eager to explain to me what's in that plate of peppers. This is pimiento de padrón, and in Spain, it's like Russian roulette for your taste buds. One of them is very hot. And if you don't talk to the people, you don't know what's going on. Experiences, that's the other thing. People are looking for experiences. They've seen the buildings. They want to roll up their sleeves and get their fingers dirty in that local culture. You can do that too, but your attitude has to be, if something comes to you as an experience, even if it's out of your comfort zone, the answer is yes. Would you like some escargot? What's the answer? Yes. At least one. As a tour guide, I'm just doing a lousy job if I have a group in France and everybody doesn't try at least one escargot. You got a family of four? Don't make everybody eat a whole plate, but buy a plate and let's all try it. The other thing that's important is where are you going to go? You're going to go to the famous places, that's fine. But find places that have no promotional budgets. Places that are just going through another century. Now, all over Europe, you can find these places that are somehow keeping their heads above the flood of the 20th century. And that's your challenge when you do your planning. Don't just go to the most promoted places. Find places that have missed the modern boat. Now, when we look at a town like this, this is in the Cinque Terre, my favorite town on my favorite stretch of the Italian Riviera, Vernazza. When we look at this town, I want you to recognize there's no modern buildings there, right? It's a national park. Nobody is allowed to change any of their buildings. This is pure old world Italy. And when you go there, you're going to find that there are no comfortable hotels. This is very good news because it keeps away the most obnoxious slice of the traveling public, people who insist on comfortable hotels. They're over in Portofino complaining about traffic jams and you know, bad prices and mean service. And while you're here surrounded by vineyards, gazing out at the twinkling Mediterranean, enjoying wine that was made right there outside of the village, if you can put up with the funky little bed and breakfast here, you've got Italy in your laps. This is fundamental. This is what I call going through the back door. Now, I've showed you some little towns, and little towns can fall through the cracks and be exciting, and you want to weave those into your itineraries. Of course, you need to see the big famous things, too. And but if all I had to talk about was the Acropolis, I'd really have no business gathering us all together today. We know to see that. I would recommend when you do go to a place like the Acropolis, you should anticipate crowds. How are you going to enjoy it without the crowd? Seems like whenever I go to the Acropolis, I hear the whistle of the guard saying, "Monsieur, monsieur, mister, get away. We're closed now. You have to go." I'm the last one on that hill. And there's nobody there but me and the wonders of the Parthenon and vast views of Athens and the setting sun. That's a great experience. There are no crowds when you come early or when you go late. Now, I want to remind you, there's a lot of big towns that are very touristy, and you're going to go to them because you got to go to Salzburg when you're in Austria. Don't go to touristy places and complain about the tourist crowds. Go to touristy places and celebrate the touristiness of it. It's fun. I love Salzburg. It's Mozart town. It's Julie Andrews. It's Sound of Music. But so many people go to Salzburg, complain about the crowds, and the next morning they sign up on the Sound of Music bus tour. They're going to be rolling through the foothills of the Alps with 40 Japanese and American tourists singing Do Adair, complaining about the tourist crowds. You put yourself into the most touristy possible thing, and you wonder why it's touristy. So we are tourists, you know? We want to do the lonely goat herd when we're there, all right? Do that, have fun, but complement that touristy experience with something just 2 hours away. Go south, into the mountains, find a cute little village bullied onto a ledge between a mountain and a lake, and commune with nature with local Austrians. Now, you gotta decide, are you gonna take a tour, or are you gonna go on your own? No right or wrong answer. For some people, tours are great, and for some people, they should go on their own. Remember, many people take a tour because they're told they can't do it on their own. You know, you can do it on your own. Anybody smart enough to be here today has what it takes up here to be their own tour guide, all right? You've qualified. But a tour organizes the hotels, it does the driving for you, and so on, and it can be a very good value. But study the tour and understand that the standard operating procedure for tours these days is to give you a no-profit price to get you on the bus. And then they pack it with 50 people on a 50-seat bus because the profit will be in the end. And in order to get that profit, they've got to sell you things. They got to keep you away from the town center to charge you to get in with the optional sightseeing tours. The guide is generally paid a token wage, sometimes no wage at all, and makes the lion's share of his income selling you things for kickbacks and angling for tips. Getting tips, selling you sightseeing for commissions, and taking you shopping for kickbacks. That's not criminal, but as consumers, you should know what's going on. Here's a tip. You, if you don't want to do the driving, and if you just want a bunch of low-stress, forgettable hotels all organized in advance, take the cheapest tour you can find, bus tour, that has an itinerary that you like, and promise yourself you will only think of it as a bus pass that comes with hotels. It's a no-profit thing. You're going to be freeloading on that tour company, all right? Equip yourself with a guidebook. Function as an independent traveler. With letting them do the driving and you've got your hotels, and it's cheaper than youth hosteling, really, when you look at it carefully. You'd pay more just for the hotel room than you're paying for the whole day package with the transportation in the room included. I am all about people going on their own. I really believe anybody who wants to be their own tour guide can, but it's work. You got to drive, you got to park, you got to arrange the hotels and so on. So you got to do some studying on that. If there's one tip that you take seriously that'll really help your travels, I think it's the importance of packing light. You do not have a pack horse. If you do, you're abusing your spouse. Now, I've been living out of a 9x22x14-inch carrying the airplane-sized suitcase for a third of my adult life. And it's no hardship. It's enlightened. Think about it. You'll never meet anybody who, after five trips, brags, every year I pack heavier. With experience, you get serious about the beauty of packing light. In Europe, you'll find two kinds of travelers, those who pack light and those who wish they packed light. You're going to be wanting to be mobile. You want to get up to that hill and stay in a beautiful little B&B with a view of the valley? You're going to have to get up. There's no taxi that takes you there. One of the realities of travel, almost any way you go, you have to leave the hotel and get to your car, get to the bus, get to the train station. All over Europe, there are cities like Florence that have become traffic-free, and you can no longer get the bus to the hotel. It's a blessing that Florence is traffic-free, but the downside is you got to carry your bag four blocks instead of parking right at the hotel. So that's just a reality today. And when I look at the people struggling with their gear, I wonder, how can somebody need so much stuff? Consider this. Spread everything out on the living room floor with your travel partner before your trip. Look at each item critically. Hold it up. Ask yourself, will I use this snorkel and fins enough to feel good about carrying it through Europe? Not will I use it, it'll be fun on the beach in Greece, but will you use it enough to feel good about carrying it through the Swiss Alps? Leave it home, all right? Load everything up, go downtown, walk around the block with your gear and see what it's like, and then go home and get real. You'll be thankful for that. I'm excited to be with you today to share my favorite tips and tricks for having the best possible European trip. It's always worth it when we take the time to get accurate information in advance to prepare us for our next adventure. That's exactly what you get from this public radio station. Reliable, fact-based information equipping you to understand what's going on in our world. In a media landscape where catchphrases and trading childish insults often drown out actual thoughtful conversation, it's never been more important to have the kind of quality programming and reliable news you've come to expect right here on this station. Please take a moment right now to affirm your support for a media source that enlightens, not frightens. Become a contributing member of this station or renew your annual membership. Please do it now. This station has never been more important for the fabric of our community and, frankly, for our democracy. We are counting on you. Please give us a call.